She do what she wanna do. Lord to the grave, tell you like it is to your face. She don't play. Every chick down for it all. Know that she a boss. No competition, no loss. From the Midwest to the A, all them got you tuning in, no delay. Ooh, get you right every time. Keep you laughing on a dime. Tell you truth, no lies, so you can live your best life. Cover all topics, no limits. Got something for your mama and your children. No holding back. No gimmicks, coming on strong. Get straight to business. Oh yeah.
She do what she wanna do.
Live life. Live life,
she do what she wanna do.
Live life, live life,
she do what she wanna do.
Live life, live life,
she do what she wanna do.
Live life, live life, live life. Live life, live life.
Hey, it's your girl Autumn, and I welcome you back to the Lit Life Podcast, where I encourage you to live your life autonomously. So once again, we are back with volume four, year 1993, for a decade of R&B. Another episode that I decided to just record it live. Shout out to Jay Book, because she don't really know, but she kind of motivated me to do this and to just go ahead and do it live, because that way it's already kind of uploaded. I still have to download it from StreamYard and upload it to Spotify for the viewers and listeners over there. But at least it's already on YouTube. Also, shout out to Jay Boo, because you know what? I think so. Her views on YouTube are all the way up. Y'all need to go and follow her. Jay's Quick 3, Jay Boo for show, formerly known as Jay Boo for show, on YouTube, everywhere, whatever, you can find it. Jay's Quick 3, if you just search it. I believe it's just the consistency. Her consistency is paying off. She's been going live at random times, random moments. She don't really tell nobody. Every once in a while she tells us, she don't really tell nobody. She just go live and do her thing. She talks about music, she talks about sport, I'll say WNBA, because that's her jam, and all that good stuff. So y'all make sure I go follow her. But anyways, what it do? So yeah, it's early in the week. It's not too early, it's the middle of the week, it's Wednesday. What did I do this weekend? Not much or nothing, really, if I really think about it. But this upcoming weekend, since we're talking about music, I am extremely excited about One Music Fest. I know I've been talking about this. Megan Thee Stallion is going to be there, Janet Jackson, Lil Kim, DJ Quick, Too Short, it's a lot of people. Nelly. I'm trying to think of the people off the top of my head that I was just like, oh, I can't wait to see them. So anyways, a whole lot of people. Kendrick Lamar are going to be there this Saturday and Sunday at Piedmont Park downtown in Atlanta. I'm not looking forward to finding parking down there, but whatever. My good girlfriend will be here, and we're going to be able to go and have us a good time. So let's go. Y'all know, again, I be saying this late, even though I'm a night owl. I'll probably be up to 2 o'clock for real, because my work schedule is just stupid. I literally just logged off of work. But once again, I'm hoping that y'all can hear me good. I'm hoping that y'all can see me, and I'm hoping that you guys will be able to jam with me for the music that I'll play today. So anyways, let's get right in fucking to it. All right, it's everybody's favorite part of the show. It's the Shut the Fuck Up Award. So look, if you're new to the show, welcome. If you're returning part of the Litty Committee, welcome back. So the Shut the Fuck Up Award is basically an award that you can give to anybody, anything, an entity, a corporation, a group of folks. You could give it to a robot if you want to. Whatever you want to do, you could get the Shut the Fuck Up Award out to. So this week, So actually, I had a few, which is good because I have a couple of other episodes to record this week. I say a couple, but it's probably only going to be one, but whatever. The one that I'm going to go with right now, since it's fresh and it's on my mind, because y'all know, typically, I don't really talk about stuff happening like right now, like breaking news. Like, I'm not really like the breaking news type of person because I never really know like if I'm actually gonna click the fucking record on this motherfucker for that week, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't really do it like that. But what I will say is sometimes things come up and they need to be addressed. Okay. So here I go. I'm about to just say it. That team up north, y'all might know them as, I don't even want to say it. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The team that Ohio State has to play every year, and we hate they ass. Okay. I'm not giving this award to them in particular. I'm not giving this award to all of their fans. I'm giving this award to everyone who is trying to justify what's going on with them. So if you guys don't know, if you haven't heard, if you're not like an NCAA sports fan or whatever, the University of that state above Ohio is under scrutiny because basically they violated some NCAA rules. Now, it's more like they got caught scouting. Now, here's the thing. And by scouting, I mean this one guy has been buying tickets to all Big Ten opponents for the past couple of years and has been going to the games or at least having people, you know, he's buying several tickets for people or whatever and going to the games, not to go and just peep the signs, but to go and record them, which is what the violation is. Like, you can't record that. He gets a good enough seat so that you can see the sideline and see the plays or whatever that they're, you know, that they're signaling. And I guess that's where the violation is because it's being recorded. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some other violations in there too, because, you know, nobody really knows how this person was affording to buy all of these tickets and be at these games. So but the Shut the Fuck Up Award goes to everybody that's trying to justify it. My thing is, if it made it to ESPN, if it made it to, you know, most news outlets, somebody, you know, up there believes that a violation has occurred. Apparently there's proof, whatever. Okay. The other thing is, I am not okay with how the players may fall in this. Like, how would you feel if you played on a football team and you put your all, you gave your all, everything, you went out there and you did your best? Because I'm not saying that team is trash. I'm not saying that at all. I hate them. You know what I'm saying? Especially the last 2 years. But I'm not saying that they don't have talent, because they do. And I would just, if I were a player on that team, I would feel a way, because how are you as a coach or as an athletic staff or as a coaching staff, how are you feeling like you have to cheat because you don't believe in me? Like, that's how I would look at it. I would feel like somebody just is not believing in me. And on top of that, any games that they may get, you know, any wins that they may be stripped of, like all of that stuff. And then they have to carry that. They went to this school. This is their school. This is their alma mater. And, you know, whether they make it to the NFL or not, they're going to always have to carry that with them, this scandal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like they should have thought that through, you know, thought the consequences through before trying that. And again, everybody, oh, everybody do it. Okay, everybody does it. But is it, then why is it a issue if everybody does? You see what I'm saying? What's the big issue if everybody does it? Is it because they got caught or what? I don't know. I don't care. My thing is, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. Believe in your fucking team. Believe that these guys can go out here and get the job done. And if you don't, you need to not be a fucking coach. You need to not be a part of the coaching staff, because I feel like aside from them believing in themselves, you need to be the next person in line to believe in them even more than they believe in themselves. When they feel like they can't, you got to be the one to push them. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're going to get out here and we're going to fucking do this. So that's who my Shut the Fuck Up award goes to. To all of that, like, I am interested to see how it all plays out, and that's that on that. So anyways, let's get into 1993. Let me tell y'all something. When I decided to do this series, a decade of R&B, the 90s, okay. When I decided to do this series, I did it because I was listening to one of my favorite albums, which debuted in 1993. Okay. So I was excited, like hella excited to get to this episode, because this was the one that this is the reason why we're here, okay? The flip side of that, the struggle that I have been going through literally since last week, literally since last Friday, actually even before that, but since last Friday, I have been going through this trying to find what I would consider complete R&B albums. And when I say complete, I'm only skipping 20 to 30% of it. Okay. So if it's 10 tracks, I can only have to skip two, maybe three, depending on how good the other seven are. Okay. That's what I mean by complete. And this is to me, like, this is my opinion. This is, you know, this is my show. I'm say what the hell I want to on here and tell y'all what I like the most on here. But out of all of the albums that came out, or R&B albums that came out in 1993, like, I could not really, it was really hard for me to find that completeness. Like, it was tough. There was a lot of albums, and I'm trying to look for it real quick. There were a lot of albums that I won't cover here today, but that I'll just mention real quick because I'm talking about it, that had a few records here and there, but those few records here and there were like fucking bangers. Okay. And when I put the playlist out, I think I'm just gonna go ahead and grab those and put them on there as well, because it's like songs that I can't like not acknowledge, right? Even though it might have been on an album that I didn't listen to in totality all the time, or maybe hadn't even bought the album. Maybe I just bought the single, because at that time that's what we could do. That's what I did. Like H-Town dropped Fever for the Flavor. Y'all already know Knocking the Boots was on there, you know what I'm saying? But that was really it. What was the other song? It was another song on there too. Tevin Campbell's I'm Ready. Like, I, you know, again, I just talked about going to see Tony. Like, they had, what was on his Sons of Soul? If I Had No Loot, Slow Wine, which is probably my favorite Tony song. Lay Your Head on My Pillow was on there, and Anniversary was on there. Four major bangers. Okay. But that was it for me for that particular album. Let me see. Janet's album, which I sat here and I listened to, and it was a whole lot of songs on there, that, and it was her self-titled album, by the way. There were a whole lot of, God, she had a whole bunch, well, a lot of these were interludes too. She had like a whole lot of tracks on this track list, and she had things like That's the Way Love Goes, If, you know what I'm saying, like so many, again, so many, Anytime, Any Place, so many bangers on that album, or I won't say so many, for me, at least four solid bangers on that album, but it was nowhere near like the 70% that I am expecting to see, you know, or that I would want to see as far as these types of albums are concerned. Who else? Mariah Carey's Music Box came out in 1993. Again, not really. Actually, she had Dream Lover on there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of big names, a lot of names that have stuck with us over the years. Joe, who knew Joe? I didn't even know Joe had an album in 1993, but I listened to it and it was actually decent. Okay. Babyface, For the Cooling You. Like, there were so many albums in 1993 that had, like I said, that had hits, you know what I'm saying, like hits here and there, or you know, you may have, you know, heard a song or two from it, and maybe I'm just talking to myself here, I don't know, but I just couldn't. So anyways, we're gonna go ahead and get into the albums that I did choose. Now, not gonna hold y'all, I feel a way if I don't mention it. Of course, the one that I probably listened to the most was by that creep that's in jail, and so I didn't put that on here. Okay, it was 12 Play. I didn't put that on here. It was probably one of my favorite albums, but I'm not gonna go there. But I felt like I had to mention it because it was there, and it dominated a lot of, you know, he dominated a lot in the 90s. So, but here are the ones that I chose. So let me go ahead and put it up here. Y'all know, y'all see I got my little thing, you know what I'm saying? First of all, why y'all didn't tell me that I was spelling volume wrong on these things? Maybe y'all didn't see it, but I'm gonna blame y'all. But anyways, I fixed it this time. So anyways, a decade of R&B. Now, typically how I do this, if this is your first time listening or watching this particular series, this is the fourth one in this series, and I make a little PowerPoint. As you can see, it's cute, you know, little slide deck, whatever, what have you. Use my little corporate skills or whatnot, and I'm gonna go through from 3 to 1. So, you know, all of them are probably albums that are truly, you know, I truly listen to. Again, I'm looking for at least a good 70% of the album that, you know, and what else? And then number one is going to be my favorite. So of course, number one is going to be the one that brought me here, that had me start this series. So let's get right into it. All right. My number three album, and this is going to be tough to talk about a little bit. I'm not going to lie about it. Let me see if I can make this bigger on my end. Yes. Okay. I can't see I don't know if I can see any chat, but whatever. 1993. Coming in at number three is Jodeci's Diary of a Madman. First of all, let's talk about these album covers, because all three of these albums that I looked for and was looking for album covers, it was like hell. Well, this one actually came right up. But as you can see, the back of it, it looks like it was a CD. The back of it is kind of, you can't really see what's really going on or whatever. But Jodeci is almost always going to be, their name is always going to be in the hat, right? Probably because this is just one of my favorite groups ever. Let's get into it. You see the clothes, you see the oversized overalls. Ain't nobody got them up over their shoulders at all. They showing, you know, Dalvin and Devontae showing a lot of body per usual. I don't know what JoJo was looking at, but he looking up at the sky. So is KC. It's just, when you see it, you know what the fuck is going on. Now, this album, they got a little bit more, I feel like, well, I won't say freaky. They were just like sex symbols anyway. So a lot of their stuff kind of came off like that. But they just, y'all already know, they had the one song on here that was just nothing but like lust, right? 1993, I probably shouldn't have been fucking with it, but I was, because it was on the radio and that's what the hell I listened to. And to this day, they still stick with me. Now, what I realized about this album after running it back a couple of times, like I listened to it a couple of times before I decided to put it on here, just like on Forever My Lady's album, they start off extremely strong. Now, but for me, Forever My Lady's album is primarily a no skip. There might be maybe one or two that I skip on there, but I would, and in most cases, I might not even skip that. If I feel like listening to Forever My Lady, I'm going to listen to the whole album in most cases. This album, I just could not do that. Like, I couldn't do it, but it still made the roster because it's one of the best ones to me that I would have been listening to, if that makes any sense. So let's get into it. Diary of a Mad Band. It was released at the end of 1993 in December. It was their second studio album. They had guest appearances. Like this was probably the very first time you had ever heard Timbaland and Missy. Redman was on there. Like, it was a bunch of different, you know, a few different people, a few different big names that we would consider big names today. They had three singles that dropped off of this album: Cry For You, Fiend, and What About Us. And let me see where they ranked. It went 2 times platinum. That's 2 million. That's 2 million units sold, y'all. Boots on the ground to the record store, which is still a lot better than some of y'all faves. But it is what it is. Let's see. Where did they peak? They peaked number one on the top R&B hip hop albums that year. Number three on Billboard 200 that year. In 99 in Australian albums that they was on. So, and even the year end chart, so you know they have that year end chart where it's like all of the or at least the you know the top, I guess, 200 that placed or that whatever, how that works, I think y'all know what I'm talking about. They were number 41 at the end of the year on Billboard 200 and number 6 on the US top R&B hip hop albums that year. Let's see the personnel. Let's see who was on this. And again, I'm getting my information from Wiki. It doesn't say at the top that they need verification, so I'm gonna trust it. So again, another shout out to J Boog, because when I was talking about Forever My Lady, I kept saying Donald Earl the Great. and had no idea that that was that damn Devontae swing. Had no idea, but whatever, go off. Here, I'll just put it out there. Shout out to Jay Boog. I mentioned him because he wrote just about the entire album, or co-wrote just about the entire album. Dalvin, Casey, and Devontae, they say, for arranging, recording engineer, Prince Charles Alexander, scratches, Timbaland, guitar, Daryl Pearson, background vocals was them, guest vocals, like I said, Redman, Timbaland, Sista, and Misdemeanor Elliott, production coordination, Mr. Magoo. I need to make this smaller because I can't see. Let me see. We good? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we could get into the album tracks, the tracks, and then I'm gonna play what my favorite song is off of here. So again, out the gate, we had My Heart Belongs to You. Out the fucking gate. Like, how do you start off an album? that's another thing too. Maybe the arrangement of the album. I don't know. Maybe the arrangement of the album. Because how do you just start off with them bangers like that? So if this was on a tape, people probably, you know, I won't say people, I'm going to just talk about me. If this was on a tape, I probably would have only listened to the A side. But I know I'm telling a lie because I'm a B side queen. Like, I love me some B-side tracks, but it wasn't a whole lot of B-side tracks on here. I fucked with, but anyways, so My Heart Belonged to You, Cry for You, another banger, another great one, like another iconic song on this album. Fiendin' Number Three. Who ain't said that they was fiendin'? Who has not quoted a line, a something from this album? Who has not? Don't come on now, tell the truth, shame the devil. Just about everybody has, right? What About Us and Ride and Slide? That's and maybe Alone. So maybe the first six, like, that's probably kind of where it, after that it kind of falls off for me. So some of the names of the tracks, I'll just let you guys know. You Got It, that's the one that was featuring Redman. Won't Waste You, that was the one that was featuring Missy. In the Meanwhile, that's the one that was featuring Timbaland. Again, a lot of heavy hitters in the industry, even today. And the last few were Give Me All You Got, Sweaty, the Missy was on that track as well, and Joe DeSile Hotline. It's like Suicidal Hotline, but Joe DeSile actually, and I did like that track, no lie. Okay, I did like that one. And then there was a bonus track on the CD called Success. So I don't know, y'all, like, how y'all feel about that album? Can y'all hear that? I don't even know if y'all can hear that or not. It's coming on the damn. I wonder if y'all can hear that. It's not supposed to be doing it that way. No, I don't think y'all can hear that. Maybe you can. Maybe you could hear that. I'm gonna play it again. But that's the song that I love. Is anybody in here? Was y'all able to hear that? I think so. That's my favorite song off the album. Let me give it to y'all. A jam, right? Like, I mean, again, how do you even start the record? How do you even start a CD off like that? How do you start an album off with that record? Like, come on. So anyways, that was my number three. playback value about 50% for me. And y'all know I love them. Y'all know I love them, love them. But it is what it is. So let's get into the second one. Again, another one that's like, when I think of her, I think of like great hits. But when I played it back, I was like, oh my God, like she really has some bangers on here. So let's get into it. The one and only Miss Toni Braxton. Short hair Toni. Okay. Short hair Toni Braxton. What do you mean? Y'all see it. Also, again, another one, it was hard for me to find the damn covers. That's why it looked like that. It don't even look like good like I would want it to look. But Miss Toni Braxton, her self-titled album. This was her debut album, by the way. Her debut studio album. It was released July 13th, 1993 by LaFace Records. So you already know. And this is why it's not a surprise that it was like such a good album. Because 9 times out of 10, something produced by LaFace was just amazing, right? And it was primarily produced by L.A. Ree and Babyface and Daryl Simmons. She won 2 American Music Awards. The categories were Favorite New Adult Contemporary Artist and Favorite Soul R&B Album. But that was in 95. So maybe it wasn't for these. That was for 94. Yeah, maybe it wasn't. But she won some awards is basically what I was trying to say. She had 5 singles from this album. 3 released in 93, 2 in 94. Let's see where she charted, how she charted. On many charts. She's on many charts. But she peaked at number 1. I don't know why I'm getting stuffed up. On the Billboard 200 and the top R&B hip hop album, she peaked at number 1. UK album, she peaked at number 4. New Zealand albums, number 2. Australian albums, number 6. German albums, number 7. And a whole list of other places that she charted. So she did her damn thing with this album. Let's see. In the United States, this album went 8 times platinum. 8 times platinum this album went. Just FYI. And it went like gold and platinum in a couple of other places. Like, this was one hell of an album, y'all. Like, it really... And again, when I listened back to it, because it wasn't at the top of my... It wasn't at the top of my head. Like, it just wasn't, right? But I had to fave the album like I have on Spotify. Like, I have certain albums that I listen to, you know, that I keep in rotation. I had to heart it. I had to fave it. And because I'm going to have to listen to it more often. And I'm so glad that this album came up in my search, because it's just like, wow. So anyways, let's get into it. It was 12 tracks on here. Another sad love song. Again, how do you start an album with that? A banger. That one, let's see, she released that as a single. That was the first single she released in June of 1993. Go on, PJ. And then, let's see, number 2, Breathe Again, which was the next single that she released. That was in October. We all love Breathe Again, another freaking jam. The next one, number 3, was 7 Whole Days, which was another a single that she dropped. And that was also in 1990. Well, damn, they say that they both dropped in October. One was on the 6th and one was on the 8th. So you could go ahead and do that shit then, Toni. And then you had Love Affair, which was a jam produced by Tim and Ted. You had Candlelight, produced by L.A. Ree, Babyface, and Simmons. Number seven, Love Should Have Brought You Home Last Night. Another damn banger. Was that on a soundtrack? I do this every time. Was that on Waiting to Excel soundtrack, maybe? I guess I could click on it and it might tell me. Boomerang. It was on a Boomerang soundtrack. Which was a fucking jam. Love Should Have Brought your Ass Home Last Night. Didn't she have a little intro at the beginning of that or whatever? A jam. You Mean the World to Me. Again, LA, LaFace. The people from LaFace did that. Wrote and produced Best Friend. And then there was a Breathe Again reprise. In Europe, there was a Europe edition bonus track, Give You My Heart, which was my yo. When I tell y'all, that probably should have been my number one that probably should have been my favorite song on here. Give You My Heart, that was that on Boomerang too? Yes, that was on the Boomerang soundtrack. My jam. I have it on a playlist. I cannot believe that I didn't pick that as my number one. Maybe I'll find it and still play it. So, but anyway, it released on the European edition, and then on the Spanish edition, there was a Breathe Again Spanish version. I ain't never heard that, y'all. But again, total length 63 minutes, a whole lot of heat. My favorite song from this album. Maybe I'll do it right this time. Was How Many Ways.
I could count from one up to 99 and still believe. Sometimes I say we get some green. There may never, ever be another love for me. Oh yeah. And I want you to know I appreciate all the things that you do when you do what you do for me. Oh yeah, babe. Darling, let me count the ways. Let me show you how I love you. Yeah, yeah.
A jam. When I say I love that song, I actually like the, what is it, soul mix or whatever. It's the one with R. Kelly in the background, so I ain't play it, but I love that song. I love that song to death. Like, I mean, it's such a banger. I can't, it's one of those songs that just, I mean, she's telling this man, this is how many ways I love you. Like, and it's so much more. She says that, and it's so much more. It's just, I was so in love with love music. And I'm sure that there's plenty of R&B love music out there now. Y'all know Raheem Devon got plenty. But it was something about the love music in the 90s. It was just different. I don't know. I'm not gonna go there right now. I'm gonna go ahead and get into this last album, because guess what? I ain't ate dinner yet. So again, just to reiterate, the reason why we're here today is because of this next album. This is one of my most favorite R&B albums. I know y'all hear me say that a lot, but no, for real. I remember I had this CD. I've actually had it more than once, because I feel like I done lost it or broke it or some shit and bought it again. Like, I probably still got it. I probably still have it. Y'all still got a case, like a little pouch of CDs? I don't have like the cases and stuff no more, but I still got CDs and little pouches or whatever. But anyways, I cannot believe that this album is, I just don't feel like they got their just due on this album. And anyways, let me go ahead and reveal. Intro, self-titled intro. Okay, this album is such a fucking banger, y'all. Like, oh my, like, you're talking about all the feels. If you want to talk about all the feels, I get all the feels listening to this album. I listen to this album frequently. Okay. What's crazy is, first of all, if you're watching this and you look at the slide that I put together and you look at the pictures, I could not find any good, clear pictures of this album, of this CD cover. Like, somebody took pictures of this and had it on their, on their desk or some shit. Like, I'm like, y'all are playing the fuck out of intro right now, but whatever, go off. The other second thing that pissed me off about doing the research about this particular album, because it's one of my favorites. Do y'all know the album itself doesn't have a wiki page? Like, the group does, but the album doesn't. So I went and found, like, I don't know, what is this, off of discogs.com? I went on ahead and got it off of here. Like, I'm not going to see any charting information. Maybe they didn't chart. Maybe that's why there's nothing out here for it. But, I mean, like, I don't, well, I guess I could go, let's see. I guess, let me see. Are they going to show me this? Let me see. Oh, wait. Like, there's literally, like, nothing about them out here, anywhere. Like, I just, hold on, y'all. Just bear with me for a second. Let me see if I can go to the wiki. Okay, I'm gonna go to the wiki page. Okay, so intro is an American R&B trio from Brooklyn, New York. Let's see. It consisted of Jeff Sanders, Clinton Buddy White, and the lead singer songwriter was Kenny Green. They formed in 1990. I feel like somebody off of this album passed away. Yes. So it says they went on a hiatus in 1997. Lead singer Green, who had already penned early hits for Mary J. Blige, continued to write for other artists like Will Smith, Cameron, 98 Degrees, Changing Faces, and Tyrese. He later died in 2001, suffering from AIDS. He sang background vocals on Will Smith's Chasing Forever on the Big Willie Style album. So they had a little bit of, not a little bit, but, you know, some tragic, you know, shit that happened with them. Let me see. A couple of the songs. So the album didn't peak. There were a couple of singles. I don't know why I'm so tongue tied. I think I'm hungry. A few of the singles from this album charted. So, Love Thang, it was on the U.S. R&B at number 28. Let Me Be the One was on the U.S. R&B at number 23. And Come Inside was number 9. And Ribbon in the Sky was 11, which Ribbon in the Sky didn't even peak until 1994. I wonder if that's when they actually dropped Ribbon in the Sky as a single. But I know all of y'all remember them remaking Ribbon in the Sky. So let's get into the track list. Oh, hell, where we at? Oh, here we go. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No skips for me. 10 on here, no skips for me. I can sing every single one of these songs on this album from front to back. I don't give a damn. The album cover was a 90s album cover. They had a little graphic over their faces. It was real simple. Again, just a bunch of heat. A bunch of heat for me. So track list, Love Thang. And I feel like, okay, yeah. Is it going in the same order on here? Okay, yes. Actually, there were 11 songs on here, by the way. This is not even showing the 11th song, but go off again. Like, see how they just playing, how they playing intro like this? Love Thang, a jam for me. Let Me Be the One Again, which was one of their singles, another jam. Anything for You, a jam, like all of these, like these first, all of the first four or five songs were kind of like upbeat. Like they were, it was, again, it was like that upbeat, feel good type of music. I know y'all probably ain't never heard none of them. I probably should have played a little snippet of some of them, but my favorite is probably not what y'all think it is, and it's gonna be an upbeat song. Kind of upbeat. Okay, why Don't You Love Me, another great track in my opinion. It's All About You, another, It's All About You. I mean, again, another great freaking song. Like, I don't know. I wish y'all gotta go listen to it. Y'all have to go and listen to this album. Just if you were a fan of any 90s music, you have to go and listen to this. The next one was, again, a big one, Ribbon in the Sky. I'm surprised that that Ribbon in the Sky wasn't the one that charted the highest. It wasn't. Like I said, it was Come Inside, I think it was. So Ribbon in the Sky, they did an excellent job, an excellent remake. I feel like I've talked about this particular song on the remakes podcast that I did with Jay and 12 Kyle. Shout out to them. The next song, Don't Leave Me, it's the perfect, after Ribbon in the Sky, it goes into the perfect, like, it's the perfect song. Like, all of these songs from Ribbon in the Sky on down, they just all kind of just flow really, 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 really well. Ribbon in the Sky, Don't Leave Me, Come Inside. Okay, let's talk about Come Inside. I know everybody remembers Come Inside. If you remember intro, you remember Come Inside. Come Inside was 8 minutes and 8 seconds long, y'all. And you want to know why? Because like 2, maybe 3 of the minutes at the end. Remember I talked about before how they did this whole little cringe, like, moaning sex thing on 90s records? Like, listening back, it's just like, not gonna lie, I get to that part and I might skip. If, you know, if it's not just background music for me, if I'm just like, I might skip it. I might skip that part of the song. But it was like this very cringe, like, somebody having sex, but also like in the background it was kind of sweet because it was like I can make you feel all right, oh baby, if you make, let me come inside. So they kept saying that over and over and over. It was, I mean, that part of it was dope, I ain't gonna lie. I just could go, like, the rest of it was the moaning, the all of that, it was just a little cringe for me. I don't know, at this point I probably liked it back then. It probably was like a jam. It was probably like, oh, again, 1993, probably shouldn't have even been liking that shit, but whatever. So many reasons. Another, like, really good song. An Ecstasy of Love, that's the one that they left off of here. Another great song for me. My favorite song on the album, let me see if I can get to it real quick. Y'all, the fact that I didn't even add it to this playlist that I was supposed to add it to, that's the part of my life that's not even cool right now. Let me find it. Like, I can't even believe I did that. Y'all know I'm trash. I know I'm trash. We all know how trash I am. All right, here we go. My favorite on the album, which was very, very, very close to, like, Come Inside and Ribbon in the Sky and So Many Reasons and, like, all of them, but this one is the one that stands out to me the most. It's called One of a Kind Love. Let me fast forward a little bit. Stay down, and I'm on my, a jam. The vocals, the mics were on, all of that. Intro is still touring. I know that they have replaced the personnel of the group has changed many a times. Like, I know there's a guy, Kermit Quinn. He's actually from Toledo, Ohio. He's in a band here. Is he in, or do he sing? And maybe he's not in the band. Do he just sing with Grits and Jelly Butter? I think he just sings with them. I've seen him plenty of time. He can sing. I know him from back home or whatever. We actually worked in Convergence together. But he was in the group at one point in time. I don't think they did anything during that time that he was in the group, though. Like, they had been trying to revive this group for so long. And now I think they kind of just tour with, like, High Five and, you know, like, other groups that you may have forgotten about. And you know, that's no shade, it just is, because of course it's no shade if this is the number one album I felt like in 1993, but it just kind of is what it is. So shout out to them for making like one of the best albums that could ever be made. Okay, shout out to Intro. Okay, so that was it. I am so damn glad I'm done with 1993. I'm not even going to hold y'all, because, again, this was a doozy. And now I have to prepare for 1994, which I have started preparing. I think I know the solid three albums, and y'all just might get this episode tomorrow live, because I'm going to have a special guest. And instead of us recording it, I think we're just going to go ahead and go live. Y'all going to have to bear with us. We're going to try something new. So we're going to see how that works. All right. All right. So what did y'all think? If you have any comments, if you have any questions, if you want to just comment, whatever, y'all know how to find me. Y'all looking or listening to me right now, you know where I'm at Autumn the Aries everywhere, on YouTube, on Facebook, at the Lit Life Podcast. It's a page. I don't be on there. Don't send me no message on Facebook. Don't send me no message on Facebook, because I don't be on there. Instagram, whatever. And if you guys have any ideas, if there's anything that you might want to hear throughout the rest of this series, because we have several episodes left, I'm open to those suggestions. Okay, so thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And until you hear me or see me again, deuces.